Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Round 6 sucked. And we're going to talk about it. Let's go.
Punch has done it from nowhere.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys AFL Fantasy Podcast. I am your host, Mitch Casey, and you can find me on Twitter complaining about my fantasy team. And I am joined by the one who doesn't go on Twitter to, you know, vent, or at all, for that matter, Luke Rodderson. How are you, mate?
Good. I think it's a smart move, mate. You wanted this round to be over so bad that we've actually started recording this podcast before the round's even finished.
Yeah, couldn't wait another half. Just wanted to get the pain out of the way. Look, last time we spoke to the people, we were all high and mighty.
Tends to be the way things go in fantasy.
Well, we brought in Nick Dacos. We vice-captained him. That went well.
We were feeling good. We were about to head off on a weekend camping trip for Easter.
We had a lovely, wholesome weekend camping with the family. We were going to be present. We avoided trading in risky sub-potential players like Sardar Houli. Oh, we'll go the good job security of a Cleary, and didn't have to worry about him until Sunday, and we were going to be back by Sunday.
Yeah.
So everything was all good, all right? We were going away, and okay, yeah, we're going to spend a couple of days out of reception. And we made it back, driving back on Sunday. And the second we got into reception, Mrs. had the phone there, and I asked, okay, well, what are the scores? What's the scores going on? And my weekend turned for the worst when we discovered that Richmond's Luke Trainer scored a two, Luke, on my field.
Yeah.
And the fact that he was the sub going into that game means that I could have done something about it. Had this been any other weekend that we decided to go camping, I could have done something about it, and I would have put on a Hugo Garcia through some DPP, which would have scored me 82 points better. But that basically sums up my weekend, and it didn't stop there, man.
Yeah,
it did not stop there.
Before you keep going, I don't know that I've seen a more dejected man than our Macca's pit stop on the way home. You want it to be anywhere but there, just hiding under the covers. It was terrible, terrible news for you. I was lucky that I didn't have the three defender rookies on field. And this wasn't a discussion of three defender rookies, is that too thin? It was just a matter of get your best rookies on field.
Yeah.
And up until this point,
Luke Trainer had gone, what were the last three games? 90, 74, 78. He had a 33 against Port, but a 62 against Carlton. And as far as our rookies goes, four scores over 60 is one of our best rookies. So against the Gold Coast Suns, who have typically been good for defenders to score against, I thought that was a safe one. Obviously, Noah Bolter coming in should have been a bit of a red flag, but they did make way some other defenders. I think Blight was dropped, so I thought we were in the clear. Anyway,
but mate, it's not all doom and gloom, because you were pretty kissed, to be honest. Your boy Fraser had a big old game for you.
Don't rub it in, please. What? Don't rub it in.
What do you mean?
I traded him out. You know this. I traded him out. I got Nick Dacos, mate. I got Nick Dacos. It was a, 35 point win.
Oh no.
Anyway, we're going to get into some of that discussion in a second, but let's talk about some awards, Luke, because I'm trying my best to make this show not all about me. I very well could.
This segment might be a good one for you to rant and rave.
Yeah, let's do it. Bring it.
And the winner of the Norm Smith Medal.
You're an embarrassment to what you do, mate.
You're an embarrassment.
I'm guessing that I might take the Bogs this week.
Yeah, you can do the Bogs.
You can keep going on the Fogs.
And I'm trying. I'll try not to be biased because there's a lot of other players that I didn't have that were still floggish out there. So they're in my crosshairs, even if you weren't playing for my team and Mitchman on the weekend. Tell me the Bog for this game, though.
Well, like you said, the weekend started off well. We traded in Nick Dacos, and he came out and looked like the thirstiest guy at the Gabba on Thursday night.
Yep.
So easy Bog, that one.
It's really nice to have a player in your team that you know 100% of the time he is looking for pill, he is thirsty for pill, and he will not stop until he gets pill. It is just a beautiful sight to behold, and yeah, he was definitely worth it. Flog, speaking of players that weren't on my side that did shit, Will Ashcroft, just a kick in the nuts on your Thursday night team. Bad start off to your weekend. He scored a 42, really disappointing, obviously. Yeah. The first loss for the Brisbane Lions, but it's a real kick in the teeth for those who either traded him in or started with him and persisted for this quote-unquote good run. That's a bad start to your weekend. Carlton versus North Melbourne.
It wasn't great for North Melbourne on Easter Friday, but there was one silver lining, and that was Tristan Sherry. So he finally looked a little bit back to himself with, I think it was 11 tackles, 43 hitouts, and 116. So for coaches that have been through some pain in the last little bit, that they've been rewarded. If you traded Tristan Sherry to Akiran Briggs this week, then
you'd be more suicidal than I am.
You've got the tick of approval to just shut up shop and head off, back off into the distance, I would say.
I will say, the ruck battle here was not pretty. Tom DeConin gets the flog of this one. He kicked a fucking goal, Luke, and he still only scores 62 points. One mark, two tackles, only 11 disposals is not what we come to expect with Tom DeConin. We expected, or we were fearful for Mark Pitnett coming in. He didn't come in. He was the sole ruck. Did not save him from his worst score of the season. Tristan Sherry obviously is a tough matchup, and it looks like, well, at least from the stats, it looks like he's feeling a bit better about himself just in time to come up against our boy.
Essendon took on the Weagles, and it was a little bit of a closer one than we expected, but Nick Martin's a guy that was always going to feast on a good matchup in the Eagles. He's a guy that will not take it easy no matter what the opposition is, and he's always hunting pill, and he did just that for a 120.
We're trying not to go too hard at rookies, but Zachary's not technically a rookie. He sucked. He had no excuses. He was coming off a 90, and what did he put up? A 36 with 8 disposals. He had the five marks, but 36, mate, is just not going to get it done. You're against the Eagles.
Eagles were actually playing well, it would appear.
I don't know. Anyway, it is so hard to get a read on these rookies because his teammate, Jackson Pryor, who had the 45 last week, he outscored him by over 30 points in this one with 18 disposals. So, big discrepancy there between those back players for Essendon. And, it's just a very, very hard read at the moment.
We'll talk a little bit more about those rookies in strategy chat. But before we do, Melbourne and Freo, Big Maxi Gorn said, get on my shoulders, boys. We're going to get our first dub of the season. And Melbourne did indeed. So, Maxi, 125.
Yeah. 28 touches and 7 marks. The 7 marks is what you love to see from Maxi Gorn. Yeah,
that's a big day for Maxi.
Yeah, so big bounce back. He was number 5 on the big boys and, came through. Caleb Sarong, man, he's a good player. 27 touches, but 18 handballs, 0 marks for a 79-point effort. This is his worst score of the season so far, despite even some tags and things like that. He's known for a player to have a high floor, and I will say that I think this is one of his only 70s in the past couple of seasons. So, yeah, sucks that he was a trade-in target for me a couple weeks ago for others as well. He's been cheap, but, yeah, this is not what you want to see against what you would typically expect to be a positive matchup. So he gets the flog for this one.
Adelaide and GWS went to town in a bit of a moist affair from what I've heard, but the moistness didn't stop Lachie Whitfield and also Lockie Ash.
Yeah,
as well.
Ash is legit.
It was a mark fest for the GWS backman, and they got it done with a big score from Lachie Whitfield.
Yeah, I was starting to think that Ash might be cutting into Whitfield's ceiling a little bit here, but it looks like there's enough, especially in a game like this. I mean, and Adelaide don't typically give up a lot of marks, so it's very interesting stat line here, but he bounced back. I'm gonna go out for you here, Luke, and the flog goes to Sam Taylor. Where the fuck was this? What's going on?
He killed
comes
himself.
Out, scores an 84.
2 weeks in a row,
2 weeks in a row.
Mm.
Had he done this round one or two, we'd be laughing as players who started him, and he would have shot up even more in cash. But I guess that's the roller coaster you ride with these key backs. But yeah, still, it doesn't have to be so soon after you trade him out, you know? Like,
yeah,
give it a month and then we won't care. But just right after?
Yeah.
Just a flog move.
I mean, even more shocking than Luke Traynor being the sub was perhaps that Richmond beat the Gold Coast.
Yes.
So we were so wrapped up in the scoring and the players that it was about 10 minutes later until we worked out that the Tigers actually won. And a big part of that was Timmy T getting it done. And Timmy T, I think, might be finding a little bit of a groove as well. A couple of decent weeks. He's got I think it was the low time last week, the 120 this week. And he's starting to look a little bit more like himself.
Yeah, 35 touches, kicked a goal.
Hey, we like that.
Very,
like
very
that.
Good.
Who's the flog?
Adam Uze. I don't know what, yeah.
Adam Uze.
Look, not only do you make Luke Traynor the sub.
Oh, yeah, you wave your finger, Mitch.
Not only do you make Luke Traynor the sub, you wait until 5 minutes are left in the game to put him on. And, like, what's the point?
Had it in the bag, mate.
What is the point?
Tigers had it in the bag.
They were up, like, 43 or something at one point. Chuck him on then. And he's actually been good. Like, it's not like he's been a bad... Like, he's been playing good footy. If you're going to put him on for 5 minutes, don't bother. Don't bother. Just keep him off. Let us get the emergency.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Yeah, so on for 5 minutes, one touch. Adam Uze, you get the flog for that.
Sydney versus Port Adelaide. Matty Roberts was a guy that I think a lot of people had in the gun at the end of last week, but it kind of showed why you move on those fattened rookies before you do a genuine, I think... I'm not gonna, maybe an underpriced premium, but he came back and with a 96, yeah. He showed why he can score.
Not great, but against Port Adelaide, that's pretty solid. I think he relieved a lot of people's nerves when it comes to his ability to score. And also in this one, Miles Bergman, there was doubts about him going into the game. He might as well have just kicked his feet up on the weekend because he had 33 points. Also, plenty of others in this one. Corey Warner, Christian Moraes, Caden Cleary all sucked, scoring less than 35 points each. And, yeah, put a big old full stop next to our cash generation.
Yeah, it's rookie crisis time.
It is rookie crisis time.
St Kilda and GWS, it was the first game back for one Marcus Bontempelli, and didn't he show it?
This was St Kilda versus Bulldogs.
Apologies. Yeah, you just got typed in
there. Go on.
That's right. The Bont, exquisite. You didn't... watched this one last night for mental health reasons.
Yeah,
but
I had to take the day off.
I did, and to be perfectly honest, the bog in this game is probably St Kilda when it comes to Bulldogs scoring, because St Kilda did not show up in the slightest. This game was just a procession for the Dogs, and you can see it. I think I looked today, and 13 of the top 14 scorers were
nine tons for Bulldogs. Yeah.
So it was just the Saints let them do what they wanted, but the Bont can have the bog in this one.
Similar to the Sam Taylor story, Riley fucking Sanders, 130.
All the good coaches have him, mate. I coached him to an absolute masterclass last night.
I have never seen a more kissed performance in my entire life. 130, 32 touches, 11 marks, and kicked a goal. The top scorer in the game.
You took
where
the night
has
off.
This come from? We Bont comes back. Okay, he's going to fall off here. Did he even have...
No, he didn't have CBAs. This is the thing.
Zero CBAs.
Correct. I had eyes on the game, mate. I coached him to a masterclass, and you took the night off, and unfortunately, you didn't bring that negative energy that you normally do, and he just flourished under those positive conditions.
I'm also going to give a drive-by to Joel Frazier, 96. Traded him out too, so that's awesome. Kicked two goals. Where was this? So he scored a low ton and a 96 in the 2 weeks that I haven't got him.
He looked like a Brownlow medalist last night.
I cannot fucking believe this. Like, this game... I tuned in for like 2 minutes in this game. I thought, okay, I'm going to try and watch this because I'm having a shit weekend. Like, I'm really upset with my fantasy team. But I'm going to do it for the podcast. I'm going to try and have some insights for people. I tune in and I saw that Riley Sanders goal and I fucking switch it right back
out.
Off. I was like, nah, not for me.
Bro, it started so horrifically too. I was watching and, you know, I'll be mean to you on the podcast, but I felt for you a little bit. It just started with Sanders, Frazier, just everywhere. It started with Tim English dropping easy uncontested marks, and I thought maybe it's best for Mitch to maybe not see this.
Yeah. Look, it was a mental health weekend.
How's your mental health going?
Not great. No, not great. But we're gonna keep pushing through.
Well,
we haven't watched the Geelong Hawthorn game. In fact, it's still going.
I got a bog butt for this.
Oh, you got a bog already,
mate? Max Holmes is doing so well. You are kissed.
No, don't even start.
You are so kissed. He's got 47 halftime. You kissed prick. What's going on?
No, don't give me that. Don't even try. Don't even try. Beat a man while he's down, why don't you?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to give the flog to Chris Scott as well for pulling a fifth late out in a row. It wasn't fantasy relevant, but fuck that guy. He doesn't give a shit.
I think Chris is doing it in spite of us, to be honest. So.
Yeah. Nah, fuck that guy. we can talk about that later.
Mitch is angry. Let's keep the negativity going. A little bit of my humps.
Get it. Well, we kind of skipped this segment earlier, but the camel of the week, I'm giving it to Adam Uzé for what I talked about earlier. 5 minutes. 5 minutes left in the game. That is the most quenched I've ever heard. Like,
that's kangaroo rat
territory. Why bother with a sub? Why bother if you're going to put a player on for 5 minutes into the game that's over?
So if he doesn't come on, you get an emergency score.
He counts as a DNP. It's nothing special, but Connor Stone, like, 60 points.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another. And don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation. But then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof, massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
100%.
At the moment, that's worth like 1,000 ranks.
That is heaps right now. Why bring on a player for 5 minutes, Luke?
Oh.
What good does that do the player? What good does that do the team?
Oh, man.
Like, what...
Yeah.
What could he do in that 5 minutes that he could have done, couldn't have done 15 minutes ago?
Yeah, they were up by 40 points at one point. Just bring the young fella on.
I have no idea. Anyway, that's the camel. Let's go some...
Let's get positive with positive. Some sponge behaviour.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent and yellow and porous is he?
He's a thirsty, thirsty boy.
He's so thirsty. It's better watching footy and watching Collingwood when Nick Dacos is at the Oxlongs because... Just every time he's in the vicinity, you just get the feeling he's working hard to get
He's an awesome player. Tagged in that third quarter and kicked a goal and just said, "Don't bother, fellas. We're gonna destroy you anyway."
He made Berry look silly early in the third quarter there when they went to tag him. It wasn't that he had a heap of points at the start of that quarter, but it just seemed like he was playing with him.
He got it when he wanted it.
Oh, he really did. Being as good as Nick Dacos. Yeah. Fuck me.
He's such a genuine gun, and it was very enjoyable for the one game of footy that I did watch this weekend. Let's head on to some strategy chat.
Well, we've got to get constructive now, so we'll park that negative energy, and we've got to talk about now how we're going to turn the ship around.
Well, before we do...
No, yes, please.
Yep. Before we do...
Unpark it.
Oh, and I don't want this to be because I'm a bit high and, you know...
You're a bit high?
A bit, yeah.
You tell me about
that. Well, no, I'm actually the opposite. I'm very low.
I need to implement those mandatory drug tests that I was talking about.
I'm a bit agitated, but I want to park that to the side now because I want to have a very rare, elusive, you don't see this happen very often, a civilized conversation about rolling lockouts.
One-way conversations where it's just us talking about
it. It's just us talking.
That's not a conversation.
Well, I noticed...
Are you going to put your foot in your mouth? No,
maybe. I don't know, but... I was obviously upset, came back, had to tweet about it, vent my frustrations, the fact that I had a two on my field. But I don't think I was the only one. And I think it opened up the conversation for a lot of people to be very upset with the fact that we are playing a rolling lockout. And then a lot of the people on the other side saying,
Roland Lockhart's the best, I was able to change my thing and obviously get a different player on field. And what I think is being lost in this conversation...
Impart your wisdom on us, Mitch.
...is the fact that... Look, I am someone who the Roland Lockhart has benefited over the course of the years.
Yeah,
normally, I am very swished on. I don't do much on my weekends. I don't play sport. I don't often go camping where I don't have reception or anything like that. So if something happens, I'm usually the one that's onto it. It advantages me, whatever. I am still against the rolling lockout as a mechanism for the game to grow, because I can only think of negatives when it comes to people who are maybe newer to the game, or people who are more casual players to the game coming in and playing fantasy and going, okay, I've got footy on the weekend, I'm going camping, I want to be with my family and not check my phone every few hours when a new game's on for me to be competitive. Because if Jack McRae, for example, in this last night, if he goes down with an injury, 10 points, yeah, it sucks. Okay, we've got to deal with it next week. But we all have him. We all have Jack McRae. It actually isn't a big deal. So the fact that I got a two on my field isn't what pisses me off. The fact is I got a two and I missed it where everyone else was on, didn't, and they got to change it. So puts someone in this situation, me, yeah, this weekend, not always, but that person in a disadvantage. And often if you're a casual player, you're just going to quit. Like, yeah, that is something that you're not going to persist with. If you think that you have to put your life on hold to play a game, which is what AFL fantasy is, you're going to quit. And that is going to be, that's bad for fantasy. The prizes are going to get worse. We're never going to get, you know, better products, you know, more content out there if the numbers remain low. And I think this is a big barrier to that.
Yeah, you're like the wrong person to talk about it, because like you admitted, it typically benefits you. But I definitely agree with what you said about it being a... it being detrimental to growing fantasy, because like you said, people who want to play a little bit more casually find that they can't keep up with us sweaties, essentially. And I think something that Warney always accurately points out is that a high tide raises all ships.
Yep.
So if we think about the fantasy community as those ships in the harbour, the more the people that we can get in there, the higher the tide, everyone's going to benefit, like you said, in prizes as well. So
like
normally
there's like 150,000 people that sign up for fantasy. I would say there's maybe 50,000 that actively play.
I don't know the numbers.
I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but
we don't have to spend too much time on it. But I think that like you said, I very rarely go on Twitter, but I'd like to think that hopefully people can, if they want to have discussions, can keep them pretty civilized and also kind of just lay off it a little bit. I think that it's
I do think it was just worth observing, and it wasn't me this one time, but observing some of the conversations going on. I think people get very defensive about this sort of stuff, because obviously people have their own, you know, best interests at heart, and obviously if it provides you an advantage over someone else, you're gonna fight for that. But I think, yeah, keeping in mind that, you know, a rising tide, what's the thing?
Raises all ships.
It raises all ships. So the more people we can have playing fantasy in our game, the better the product is going to be. The more, general footy media is actually going to care about it. You might see some things in broadcasts, or you might see better prizes or things like that as a result. But if I think that something like this is a barrier to that kind of a growth.
Okay. Let me talk to you about something that everyone can agree on, and that is that some of our rookies fucking killed us this week. Whether you were killed by, you know, not seeing subs and that, I think we can agree that just rookies across the board this week were killer. So obviously you had the Lutrana sub, but then you also had guys like Gross, you had El Hooley, who both ended up being green vests. They were trade-in targets. Even a player that we thought was a little bit safer, Cleary, didn't get a vest, but just scored horrifically.
33. Moraes was 30, bad. Yep. Corey Warner, less than 30. So Zach Reed, 36.
Do we have a larger issue, or is this just your classic reactionary thing? Because last week we're talking about Reed, Trainer, bias these guys in the back line, you know, right to run, these are our best rookies, right to run them on field for at least 1 week. And then when it backfires like this, it's easy to kind of say, told you so. But is this just a week-to-week thing where we overreact, or what
Look,
do you think?
We can definitely overreact. It is a very timely and painful reminder of the volatility of rookies. Like those, Trainer and Reed, there were always issues and risks of them going bad. Like, you don't expect it to go this bad, this like immediate. But Zach Reed was always at a risk of putting up a 36. I think the broader issue is that a lot of the mid prices that we wanted to start the year with flopped. So a lot of us, myself included, went more to a guns and rookie structure. And since moving to that structure, those mid prices that we've traded out have fixed themselves. And the rookies that we've traded into have shit the bed. So those of you, those of us who have made that kind of a adjustment have been hit from both sides. You know, we've got the worst of both of it. And from a structure point of view, it makes it very difficult to land on one structure that, sort of is the best scoring structure. I think I've broken a record this week, Luke.
Just general suckery.
Rookie roulette. Yeah, we talk about, you know, leaving points in the field.
I knew you'd calculate this. I knew you would.
I left, if I had just made three different changes in just rookies, shuffling rookies, I left 168 points on my bench this week.
Would that have been enough to beat me in the
Probably not, but it would have got me to closer to a respectable score. 168 points.
That's a lot of points.
That is on my bench, that is not on my field. That's not the points on my bench. That's the difference between the two. Hugo Garcia, Sam Davidson, and Connor Stone on my bench with Luke Traynor, Christian Moraes, and Caden Cleary on my bench. The Moraes one hurts me the most because that one was a genuine mistake. I thought I had the emergency on Davidson, but turns out I didn't. But what are the rookies that we can trust from here on out? Like, if we're going through... Is there four or five rookies that we can trust? I think we can confidently say Riley Bice is still there.
I think we can. But before we talk about a couple of others as well, when I first read you put this question into the run sheet, my answer to this is like, well, we react, don't we? Because if we were to ask this question last week, Luke Traynor, Zach Reed would have been in the discussion for rookies that we could trust. So, yes, you know, we've got Riley Bice here who we feel really confident in. Levi Ashcroft, obviously, is just a prodigious young talent. But then we've got names like Hugo Garcia, Sam Davidson. Sam Davidson, I feel, are right about, but it's not too long ago that we have to go back and look at Hugo Garcia doing stinky things as well. So is the message, rather than like the rookies that we can trust, is just we have to move these rookies as quick as possible?
I mean, yes, but we can't do it all at once. So we're going to still have to field some rookies. Like, we only have two trades. We've got a certain amount of money.
Okay, well, I'll go Riley Bice, Ashcroft, Davidson. Those are the only three that I'm prepared to go. Like, I feel good about.
What about Hugo Garcia? Because he's done 380 pluses in his last four. There's a 42 in the middle there. And the week before, the 110, he scored a 27 as a sub. What do we think of him? Now, the Saints also got pumped. Is there a risk that he's the sub again?
Yeah, I think that there's risks with him, both, you know, from a role perspective going missing and then also the sub. But you look back and look at Luke Traynor's scoring and it looks better than that in terms of consistency and high floor. So Garcia, to me, you know, is not one.
But he was obviously the sub this week. And so is it a case of, like, if he's not the sub, you roll him out, you go with it?
Yeah, you might be forced into, but I think like trust is the wrong word to use here. It's like which rookie do we feel better about fielding than the other rookies? And yeah, I'd agree with you. Those four guys feel, you know, better than perhaps other rookies.
So, well, in that case, then, say we don't trust them, their options. Is it worth trading in red dots for loopholes if we say we don't have them on different lines of our field? Like, you know, some of us might have an Angus Hasty or a Harry Boy, but they've been not very useful because, one, they've played very late on Sundays and been on the extended benches and their emergencies and those kind of things. But is a genuine Max Hall red dot worth a trade in, especially because it doesn't look obvious for who the rookie trade-ins are? Like, the three rookie targets last week all underperformed.
Yeah. I'm hoping that this week is just an anomaly because it's too early. If we stall our cash gen, you know, somewhat intentionally by trading in red dots, it might not hurt you this week. It might not hurt you next week, but you're going to end up with teams that just leapfrog you in 5-6 during the buys, after the buys, week's time, because you're just not generating cash. And it's very, if you trade in a red dot, and most people will trade in a 230K red dot, of course, it's hard to get yourself out of that situation, because let's say 3-4 weeks down the track, in comes a promising young rookie. Let's say it's a smile. Josh Smiley?
Yep.
He comes in. Well, what the fuck are you going to do? How are you going to get your 230K red dot rookie up to the 315. Yeah.
Well,
whatever,
no, you're not. You're not going to have to wait till the buyers, I think.
So that's, I'm just saying, I think you're going to kill your cash gen. So I think you still need to go hunting for these. It is 1 week of what appears to be rookie crisis. So
yeah,
I think we still need to maybe stick to the blueprint this week, not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, I do tend to agree, but it is also this type of crises, like rookie crisis or cash gen crisis more specifically, that supports my argument for targeting those underpriced premiums.
Yeah.
Like it is this, like the two are linked, like, well, very much so, because if we're running short on these rookies and you're spending up for Zach Merritt, who was lucky to escape a Flog of the Week award for scoring his 80 against the Eagles, that's going to leave you short, and those last call upgrades are going to be extremely hard to make.
Yeah, I think it was the perfect example this week. I wrote it in my Patreon write-up as well, is if you decided to trade in Zach Merritt over Nick Dacos, there it is. You've lost all your money for this week's upgrade, and you've ended up losing 50 points. Sorry. So,
and even if they scored the same, it's still, you concede that as well. Yeah.
I'm starting to consider something that I know you don't like doing, but I'm obviously we're still in lockout as we talk at the moment. Yes. But
we don't know price movements and things like that.
We don't.
Movements, yeah.
But just looking based on trainer to me, if trainer scored a 60 or 70, he was going to go up enough to be the guy that I bridge the gap to, let's say, call a Petrarca an underpriced premium this week. It actually looks like, from what I can see, and like I said, I haven't gone through thoroughly, it looks like I won't be able to get anyone except one of those good-looking on-field rookies like a Levi Ashcroft to a Petrarca.
Mm.
So I'm in this situation, I think I might be in this situation this week, where I'm kind of like, okay, well, is this now an opportunity to fix up like some, I'll call it like bench hygiene, and maybe just bring in like a Ned Long and try and get that cash gen moving again with a mid-pricer who looks like he's got a good role that hopefully can generate a little bit more cash. I don't know if this is the case yet, but I don't want to compromise completely on my upgrade to somebody who, let's say someone like a Dylan Moore, who we're yet to see do something really positive.
Yep. It doesn't look like he's going too well at the game at the moment as we're sitting here recording.
So is this even a play now where we look at this season and go, okay, this is a little bit different to what we've seen in previous seasons. Do we need to just forego an upgrade this week and maybe just get that cash gen ticking over again by going to a Ned Long or something like that?
Dylan Moore scoring 28 at 11 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Because you could go to him from a crap rookie, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. I think you still need to take what you're given. And I think we're still looking for upgrades. So, but an upgrade can be different things, right? It can be the premium, the one up, one down rookie, and that's the perfect upgrade. If you can't make that, then fixing up a red dot and getting an improvement on your field with a Ned Long, like us getting a more points on field can be like a rookie going to a ceiling guy, or removing like a Moraes or a Zach Reed off your field and putting on a Ned Long, like that's 50 points right there.
You'd hope.
You get based on this last week, plus you're making much more cash. The question just is you, do you think that role is sustainable enough? What's the horizon? And I guess what other moves? I still would have a preference if you had banked cash. Maybe you can go up to a premium, but if you're not, and I think a lot of people will be in that boat, there's definitely, I don't think anything wrong with kind of killing two birds with one stone in terms of bench hygiene, getting points on field by removing the floor from your team rather than increasing the ceiling of your team. I think both things can contribute to you scoring more points.
One more thing I want to add to strategy chat, and this was something that sort of happened to me this weekend, was I don't think that it's... To get the upgrade that you want, and when I say upgrade you want, I'm not saying like Zach Merritt instead of Dacos. I'm saying this week for me it was Dacos instead of Petrarca.
Yep.
I moved Davidson.
Yes.
So this week it put Cleary on field and I essentially lost, I think it was more than 50 points to what Davidson scored.
Yes.
I did, instead of bringing Petrarca, I got Dacos, so there's 30 points.
Yep.
But I was able to put the VC on there. So I think this weekend, if you look at it over, I probably did lose points overall this week, but I think it was a reasonably unique, you know, experience with Cleary literally going 33 versus Davidson.
I mean, Dacos is also going to go up probably about 40K, I'd say.
He is. So is this like a decent lesson to say, don't fall in love with these rookies? I'd love to have Davidson, of course, still, but I very much love having Nick Dacos.
I mean, yeah, 100%. And Davidson could go back to doing a 30 next week, as we saw Zach Reed and Trainer and these kind of things. There are risks associated with this, and they pummeled St Kilda. Like, who's to say they're going to do that with their next game against GWS, which is probably not going to happen. He's got Port Adelaide 2 weeks after. I think if you trade out one of these rookies that did well, I wouldn't stress too much about it. I obviously, you would prefer to trade out a worse rookie, but if you didn't have Nick Dacos this week and you put the VC on Sheasel and then put it on Dacos, well, there's another 30 points. Like, you're losing 60 points. You're actually probably net 10 points up. You've got the premium that you want that is going to be there for the rest of the season. So that's done now. You're a step ahead of people who didn't trade him in and maybe will be looking to get him at a more expensive price this week. And you can start to look elsewhere. So I still think it's... I don't think it's something that changes my mind. It's something that I think I've survived before. I think the guys that still have, like Riley Bice, you're not trading him out. Like, his break even still like negative 30. Ashcroft, maybe you could start considering it, potentially, but I'd still prefer not to. I think the question is more interesting when we start to consider, do we trade out some of these rookies or do we trade out some of these mid-prices that we might still have hanging around? Like, I mean, we're not trading out Sanders, but someone like, let's call it a Bergman or...
Ooh, mate, it's probably a good segue because it sounds like you're ready to go kung fu fighting. Well, we clashed in the middle there. We just threw it off a little bit.
I'm just trying to hurt anyone around me at the moment.
So I just slide on over here.
But I think, so this is an interesting point of the season where, so I'm using this again also based on what I did last week. I traded out Joel Frazier and Sam De Koning.
Yep.
My scoring would have been a lot better. And I probably could have done the move. Had I known, I could have redone the trades and traded out Luke Traynor instead of Joel Frazier. I would have had the money to do that. Obviously, I didn't see that he was a sub or not. But Joel Frazier, before this past week, was not scoring anywhere as good as the rookies. His cash in was declining. But he's still not a rookie, and he's still someone who has better role security in terms of he's less likely to be the sub. You sort of can feel confident he's going to be there week to week if Carnage hits and things like that. And he has the potential, as we saw, he popped a 90 score. Like, he's had the potential to ton up and things where some of these rookies just don't.
St Kilda may as well not have been there. I know you didn't watch this one, but anyone who did, tell you it's St Kilda.
But someone, like, let's talk about like a Bergman. Like, I know some people experienced the same thing with a Farrell, who we were saying was a trade out. He tunned up on the weekend against Sydney. Where are we at with some of these frustrating, you know, Will Ashcroft is an example. Yeah. He was poor, but could he turn around and turn up next week? Absolutely. Like, what do we do with these players that are frustrating, but we've also got this rookie issue in our side? Where do you lean towards in terms of those guys maybe getting into a better player or keeping more cash on the bench? What do you think we should be doing? Because I think it's a hard question.
I definitely think it's one of those ones where you're trying to be informed by the upgrade that you're making. Hey, if you've got your two rookies and you can go one down and then one up to a guy that you feel really comfortable with, I still think that's the move because, like you said, these guys that are like Frazier's, Ashcroft's, there's every chance that they give you 90s or tons, whereas the rookies will like rarely do that. But is there a case to be made that if the only way that you can kind of get where you want to go is by moving one of these, you know, more expensive... What are we going to call them? They're not really an underpriced premium if they're dropping 40s on your head, but then they're not really a mid-pricer anymore.
They're like high mid-prices, really.
So
Ashcroft, I don't consider him a genuine premium.
So like, let's say Ashcroft is as a case study
Callahan,
for this week.
Yeah.
Let's say Ashcroft is a case study for this week. Do you feel better about if Ashcroft to...
Let's call it Nick Dacos,
for example. Okay, if Ashcroft and Nick Dacos is the only, let's call it quote-unquote upgrade that you make for this week, do you feel good about that, or...?
Look, I think it's an improvement on your side. It's just whether or not you can make a better improvement. Yeah. Like, could you get Moraes and Max Hall to a new rookie and Ned Long? And in that trade... Like, okay, let's say, well, what do we call Ashcroft? Maybe he's on average a 90.
Yeah.
even though he obviously just dropped a 40, but the 3 weeks before that, he was a three tons in a row.
Yeah.
Say he's an 85 to a 90 to a Nick Daicos, who's 105 to 110. So let's call that 20 points upgraded. Moraes and Max Hall are like 40s right now.
Especially if you have to field these guys.
You're fielding these guys. You're at least fielding one of them, say, for example, to a Ned Long, who, let's conservatively say, in his role, if he's not the sub right now, is scoring 75-80. Yeah. That's 35-40 points of value. Plus, you're going to get much better cash generation in that scenario as well. And you've got the potential. Like, there is a scenario that Will Ashcroft outscores Nick Daicos next week.
Yeah.
Like it happened 2 weeks ago.
But
like
you find the
potential of the reverse happening is slim, I think.
I think it's less too. And this might say, like, you could definitely sit back and listen to what we said last week, and we're very much, we don't really like these mid-prices at this time of year. But
almost like you're kind of stuck with them now.
Yeah, and something that obviously, as a result of this week, is so many of these guys have just stalled their cash generation. So it's not just that they dropped one poor score. Like, let's say Luke Traynor, for example, he's the sub, he's two. His cash generation is now shot for next. So it's similar to when, like, Lindsay went down with his injury. Even though he's come back, I think he's had a 40, then he might have had a 60-odd on the weekend.
Yeah.
His cash generation is not going gangbusters like it was pre-injury. So this is the issue, is if we want to hold Luke Traynor and expect him to make another 100K...
You have to hold him for another 10 weeks.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so that there presents an issue where I think...
And that spot could be someone else. That spot could be a premium scoring better. That spot could be a new rookie that's generating that 100K in 2 weeks rather than 10.
Yeah. So I think that maybe there's an argument to say now that if you can get rid of some of these dirty rookies. Like, I'll use like a Finno Sullivan, for example. I just thought that this guy might be a slow burn. I thought maybe we'd get a little bit of ceiling score, but this guy is, you know, I'm sure he's a great player, but it's just, it's 20s, it's 30s, it's low 50s. You know, he's got a break even at 26. He didn't reach his break even this week. And so he's just one of those stalled guys. So, I'm seriously contemplating if I can't get an upgrade that I want, maybe some bench hygiene's on the agenda at the Oxalongs this week.
I think it also goes to me highlighting the importance of not trading in those halfway guys in terms of the premiums that are close, they're not close enough. You know, your Callahans, your Tom Powells, your Ashcrofts, these kind of guys.
The issue is the guys that haven't done it before, they don't have runs on the board.
Yeah.
It's very rare for a lot of those guys to pop in one season, I would say.
Because these decisions are difficult. This is not straightforward. Like, we could be saying this and it's the wrong decision. You should be trading out these guys. Like, I'm not pretending to have a crystal ball here, but yeah, it just puts you in a really tough spot in that situation. It can work out, but yeah, I think that is the case. Whereas I see someone like a Ned Long, he's cheap enough. Like, he's more of the mid-pricer that Mitch Nevitt or a Nathan O'Driscoll or who's the Eagles fella? Why am I forgetting his name? Marich, like those kind of types that are more in your team as like a cash generating fieldable player than a player that's like trying to get you close to the premiums. We're not expecting them to be close to the premiums, but they're still that little step above a rookie, and their cash is generating sometimes better than the rookies as well. They're not as close to the sub risk and things like that based on what we're seeing.
Well, I mean, Long's a good example. He's a little bit older than your typical rookie. He's got,
I think his role looks good too.
That's the thing. He's got a role that not many people would have expected given the talent that's in Collingwood's midfield. And the other thing too is he does still have like a decent three-game stretch coming up, Essendon, Geelong and Fremantle. So he's a guy that's interesting me, but there's still a bit to play out. I mean, the last game of the round still hasn't finished yet, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, but I do think, Luke Traynor's sort of like right at the top of the priorities list, but I think, if you can cut some of those Corey Warners, Finno Sullivans, Christian Moraes, like these sort of types and fix up two of those and get a little halfway upgrade, I think it's not a bad move. Or if you've got some cash banked, maybe you can get up a bit further. I still would do that if I could, but I think that's, yeah, that's the way I would play it. Trade in targets, a little bit harder to do before the game is reopened for the next round because we don't know prices and things like that. But I've sort of been pegging this guy for this week's major upgrade, and that is Christian Petrarca. I think he will be not likely my number one target versus Richmond and West Coast in the next two rounds. He scored a nice ton on the weekend, and you also told me that he was the number one CBA attendee for Melbourne, which is tick, tick, tick.
Outside of Gorn, from a midfield perspective, like you say, this is a 2 week process that we've been watching him, and you know, not necessarily for score, but it's been nice that he's hit tons both weeks. I think it's more so the fact that we can see that the role has now shifted, and the fact that Melbourne got a win on the weekend is fantastic. So I think he ticks all the boxes if you can get to him. Good run coming up for the next little bit. I think he's got the Tigers this week, which is awesome. And he is he's going to be still around that 900k. I think
He won't move much. I think his break even was 94. He went up 100, so he's going to move up like 3 or 4k.
Tractor. You'll be able to afford him.
I'll be able to get there. I'll be able to get there. It'll just depend on which rookie I have to cut to get there. So he will more than likely come in for me. And he plays a Thursday night. Would you put a sneaky VC on him against the Tigers?
It'd be good for morale, comes into the team and gets the VC.
Yeah, maybe. I think also another player on that game as well, Timmy Taranto. I think I am growing in confidence. Obviously, he scored well, but I was pretty big on him the last couple of weeks as someone who I still have faith in. And I think, obviously, putting up scores consolidates that faith for me. 120 on the weekend. 97-107. Yeah, all the games have been sold so far except that Port Adelaide game, and he is still very cheap. Like, he's in that Petrarca price bracket. I actually think he has higher upside than Petrarca, but the positioning means he's further away from the top dogs than Petrarca. So that's why I probably put him below him. But again, a player who I think should be just a tick over 900,000, I think could go 100+. Then I've got a few question marks. Again, I didn't see this, but the time on ground suggests that it might be the case. Is Tristan Sherry back?
Oh, man. I want to hear some more talk in the Twitter sphere and on different podcasts this week about Tristan Sherry. But the stat line did suggest it was high hitouts, it was high tackles. Zero marks, I believe. Am I right in saying
one
zero?
Mark.
One mark, okay.
Carlton are, I think the most... They have the most ruck contests of any team so far in 2025, so that plays right into his hands.
The tackle numbers are obviously a big tick, but we do recall that stat from the preseason was that throughout the course of 2024, Tristan Sherry's tackle average didn't really change all that much. It was more the marks that came into his
game. Marks and disposals.
To give him the ceiling score. So it would definitely have been nice to see a few more marks in there on the weekend, but I think that... people who have held on to him for the last couple of weeks have been rewarded.
I think the thing that I think is the most optimistic is he played 84% TOG. The 3 weeks prior, where he put up those 370s in a row, 76, 79, 76. The weeks before, where he was doing well, 85, 83, and he's gone 84%. So to me, that is a very good sign. Yeah. I don't know if he's maybe 100%.
A Sherry good sign.
He still has 2 or 3 tough matchups on his run. So Port Adelaide are actually tough now with Sweetie there. Essendon.
Did you hear what happened on the weekend?
No.
I'm pretty sure Sam Draper's done his Achilles.
Oh, okay.
Achilles?
Yeah, well, because then Nick Ryan might be a very nice matchup.
Yeah, I've got this in my write-up as well. I hope I'm not absolutely talking out of my ass, but let me just even fact-check myself because...
I did see him as injured Nick on Ryan, the thing out, yeah.
So Nick Bryan...
Must have been late because he scored 95, did well. But Matt Flynn even there, he scored 97, even with Draper in there.
He's ruptured his Achilles.
Wow.
Two Ruckman, essentially season-ending injuries in 2 weeks.
So maybe Sherry gets one more week as a look, and then he could be a trade-in target for those that don't have him.
Yeah, and just, this is a little digression, but Essendon in the next 4 weeks, Darcy Cameron plays Essendon this week, then Sherry obviously plays Essendon, and then in 2 weeks' time after that, English plays Essendon. Mm. A potentially ruckless Essendon. I'm guessing, what are you going to do there? Is Peter Wright going to spend more time
Goldie...
in there? Big Goldie's probably waiting in the wings.
I'd say he probably has to come in.
Big Goldie's not the easiest matchup in the world.
No, but he's 50 also 50. Years old. So, and he hasn't... I mean, has he been playing VFL? Like, I don't even know. Surely you're not rolling out there against the likes of Tristan Sherry with Peter Wright as your sold
out. No, I mean, the bloke, I think he kicked six goals on the weekend for Essendon, and not even in a dominant Essendon performance. Let me, we have digressed a little bit. So back to Tristan Cherry. If I told you at the start of the year that you could just straight swap TDK to Tristan Cherry...
Oh, you'd laugh and say you're crazy.
So this
I wouldn't, because I predicted to go 110. But
you did, but like the psychology, I think, of this one is interesting, because if you can buy the dip and you can time the drop on Sherry, and you could do, and De Koning's apparent, you know, if De Koning's no good anymore, is this one of those ones that's very hard mentally to pull the trigger on, but could be a masterstroke?
It is hard. It depends on what else you can do. I will say that Tom De Koning comes up against Geelong this week.
Yeah.
But then he does start to get into a tougher run of matchups. Like, he's had his easy ones up until round five should have been easy. Round six was definitely, it was a harder matchup. But again, let us know in the comments section, what did Tom De Koning look like? Because a lot of the reports are that he's getting tired.
Long, blonde hair, I would have thought.
Yeah. Well, that's
Navy,
everyone.
Navy blue jersey.
Oh, I was going to say that's everyone Geelong, but he doesn't play for Geelong. His brother does.
Hey, you never know with Chris Scott. He could pull a late in and, yeah.
Little twin
late
kinda,
in Tom De Koning. Hang on, what the fuck's going on here? You can't do that, Chris. I can do whatever the fuck I want, Mark.
If I was a twin or a brother or someone that looked identical to me, I'd definitely do that.
A little parent trap.
Absolutely. Nice. Other trade-ins. So Nick Dacos, I think he will be a big trade-in in terms of the stats. He's going to go up 40,000, I think. And so he is going to be priced very much closer to that 108, 107 kind of a mark.
Yeah.
I almost think he might have missed the boat in a way.
In terms of value?
In terms of value.
Yeah, you've never missed the boat on... Never. You've never missed the boat on Nick Dacos.
Like, I still think he is a fine trade-in. But I don't think that value is going to be there anymore, which was the danger of waiting a week. But I don't think it's disaster. Like, I don't think you should destroy your team trying to get Nick Dacos in.
Well, is his brother a better option? I know you've got him a little further down the list, but let's talk.
Yeah, he's going to be cheap. He's going to be cheap.
Yeah.
And he got tagged that week that he scored the 60-odd.
See, looking at Josh Dacos' numbers, he hasn't turned up this year. And so, a lot, I think you kind of dismiss that, but... They're going into a better stretch of games.
Essendon, I give up a lot of fantasy points, especially with Marks.
Remember, this is a guy that is mid-defender, DPP, and I think he's capable of scoring...
He'll be below 900,000.
I think he'll be pretty close to the top six defenders. Not too far off, but the issue, I think... You know, he had almost 30 touches on the weekend, I think, from memory. A lot of handballs in there, which I don't particularly like. Actually.
I think he might become the pick of the defenders if you have to get a defender player as your upgrade.
Yeah.
Although I'm just checking Tom Stewart's score. Oh, he's scoring horribly. 49 points at three-quarter time.
So Josh Dacos has had 30 touches. If a halfback has 30 touches, you expect that to be a 110 plus.
Yeah. So, five marks, no tackles?
13 handballs is the issue. Like, let's say Wang...
He looked good on the weekend.
He definitely looked good, no doubt about it. But let's say the Wang has 30 touches. To me, that's 110.
I still think there's ceiling there. I'm not, just because we haven't seen it yet this year,
this
I still think
fantasy,
that's there, because he's gone 95 against Brisbane, Carlton, who are not necessarily a friendly defender matchup. They've been good for midfielders so far this year, but defenders not so much. 99 against Port, 88 against GWS. These are all very tough matchups. I've skipped 85 against Bulldogs there because that's normally a decent matchup. And he got tagged to 65. He hasn't really had a friendly defender matchup yet this year, maybe outside of that Bulldogs game. So I think that there is ceiling there. He's a very left of field pick. He's not going to be so cheap that I like. He's still going to be around Petrarca, Taranto prices.
Yeah.
I have more confidence with those guys. But I think if you're looking for a defender, he kind of could fit the bill.
Collingwood don't play a particularly waxy game style, which maybe is a little mark against his name. Bontempelli was exquisite last night.
Let's lump Bont and Butters in the same. Thing,
okay.
Because they both made their return.
Coming back. And yeah, if you go back and have a look at Bont, Bont had I think it was 53 points second quarter. Outside of that, the numbers not necessarily filling you with confidence. I think it was sort of mid-20s or just under 20 for his first, third, and fourth quarters.
Bedford goes to him, right, this week?
Yeah, I think Bont's one of those ones where it's very likely that we want to trade him in at some point when we're kind of like rounding off our teams, but he's obviously come in at an awkward part in the season. And like I said...
Yeah, Bedford tag into the Port Adelaide matchup. Then he has a couple of nicer ones going into his bye, but he might be the perfect guy to get in after his bye or something like that. Maybe that St. Kilda Richmond kind of area there.
Yeah, it could be. But the Saints were bad. He St. Kilda'd them. So very bad.
Nice. I'm still glad we can find a little bit of comedy in this podcast.
Thank you. I'm trying to drip feed it to you because I just didn't know how you'd respond.
Yeah. As long as they're about totally irrelevant players to my team, then it's fine. But if you kick me while I'm down, I'm not going to like it. Zach Butters, a different story. I think he's a little bit cheaper, about 50K cheaper. I think he's going to still go down a little bit in price. Like, for me, he's going to be around Nick Dacos sort of prices.
Zach Butters would be good for your mental health. We love that guy. We love watching that guy.
He's a gun. North Bulldogs, Adelaide, Geelong, Frio in his next five. I don't really see much of a tag threat in those next few games.
We've only seen two games. Connor Rosie out of the midfield. It's a stretch to say like that benefits Butters, isn't it? Because we've seen Butters do it with Rosie in there.
Doesn't hurt.
Does it mean that if teams are coming to tag a midfielder, he's now the only option?
I think Rosie was third in that list anyway. Like, it was him and Horn Francis. So, I don't think it actually changes too much.
Yeah, I think Rosie still had five CBAs on the weekend. But, yeah, last couple of weeks, he's been down back and he's been doing well. Kicked three goals from half back in the last 2 weeks.
He's a good player. Very good player. I think both of them are just going to maybe just not necessarily be value picks, but I just wanted to address them now because they are new names, new toys that we could potentially play with our trade-ins there. But we will probably go through a more comprehensive list unless you have someone else you wanted to finish on.
I just
want
to quickly give like a slightly more airtime to some of those mid-price guys. So Ned Long's obviously a guy that we talked about a little bit when we were talking chopping block, but bringing him in on the other end. Someone like a Marich now is a little bit more expensive and he's gone. The other thing, too, to note with him is that he lost a large percentage of the kick-ins this week with McGovern coming back. So, didn't really impact his scoring. Still went a 70, but awesome.
He's getting close to being priced at 70 as well. So,
is there anyone else that fits this bill, fits this category at the moment, do you think?
That's a good question. Let me have a quick... I mean, could you trade in Riley Sanders? He scored pretty good for his price. No
change in role for Riley Sanders. So if you are looking at 130 and thinking that's the...
What about Trent Rivers? What the hell happened there? He scored a 122 against Frio, and his price is well down now, 729K.
No CBAs from memory.
Was he no CBAs? Was he off halfback still?
He was indeed. And it's, Bowie scored a 113.
Yeah,
so
maybe just chalk that up to a bit of a matchup or game time thing. Yeah, I think Ned Long is the guy. I think his role is nice, and as long as he's not the sub, he could be this year's kind of Peatling sort of situation where when he's in there, he's scoring well and he's still priced cheaply enough that I think you can ride that for a little while longer. And if it gets a rookie off your field, you might be happy to ride him to the buys and just get those other rookies off. And if he ever becomes a sub, then that's your cue to upgrade him to a premium. So I think he, at the moment, is the pick. I can't really see anyone else that's really jumping out at me too much at the moment.
Dylan Moore's on 34 at three-quarter time.
There's been a lot of stinky scores. I'm still looking at three-quarter time. My boy Holmes, who was on 50 at halftime, was on 59. Now he's on, still on 59. So this is just going swimmingly. I don't think I'm going to get to 1,800 this week, which would be an absolute record.
You picked the right week to have a bad one in your matchup against me, mate. So I do appreciate it.
I do it for you, mate. Do it for you. But
all aboard the Oxlongs, mate.
I've slid nearly 10,000 spots in one week.
There's room on the coaching panel at the Oxlongs.
I'll consider my position. But no, I did predict you're going to be doing great things this week. You thought it was a Moz, but it totally rebounded and hit me straight in the face.
The old rebound Moz.
Yeah, so hopefully this is as bad as it gets over at Michmond. I will not give up. I will keep chipping away. Look, I might not win any hats or anything.
This is a metaphor. Look how low you are on the screen. Look how slunked you are in your chair. This is just devastating. Yeah,
it's a metaphor for my mood right now. But
and I'm just going to get right up and erect here. Let me just pump the chair up.
You already were, mate, because you're trying to sit next to me.
Let's go, mate.
You are doing a squat right now.
No, this is just my normal spot.
Thank you very much, guys, for tuning in, guys, and dealing with my sulky mood today. And as always, make sure you give this video a big old like, subscribe to YouTube channel, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and head to patreon.com/ballboys to get some extra bonus content. We'll see you guys on Friday. Bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Men, if you're ready to reclaim your edge, listen up. I used to be held back by constant bathroom trips, with multiple wake-ups during my sleep and looking for restrooms whenever I was out. Then I discovered Better Man. After just 2 months, I started experiencing fewer trips to the bathroom, less urge to go, and I even slept through some nights. I feel a noticeable boost in my overall well-being, even sexual stamina. It gives me the freedom and confidence to live life on my terms. Better Man is clinically tested and trusted by thousands of men over 25 years. Ready to take back control? Go to BeBetterNow.com to order your supply today. That's BeBetterNow.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed. Individual results may vary.